Hello, Michael here. I've come to a rather pretty cottage in the west of Melbourne. I want to see how this one person goes about what traditionally would be called craft. But is it craft? Let's find out. Hello.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Sorry, that our vicious dog.
Oh, that's all right. Jessie, hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Nice to see you.
And you?
Hello, my name's Jessie Dean, and I'm a needlepoint artist.
Sometimes I do a lot of the prep work out here.
Right.
And I work a lot in the lounge room too.
Okay.
Because then I can watch the telly. Well, not really watch it, but kind of listen.
Listen, right.
So here's the studio.
Jessie has led me through the house out the back to a weather-beaten room in the garden. And as we enter that space, the nature of her most unusual approach to art is springing from every surface. Jessie, when I hear the word needlepoint, and I'm sure this has been put to you many times, I have a rather cliched image of what that entails. I must admit, I see an older woman, not a man, an older woman. I see beautiful things on the walls that remind you of home, and it might be pretty and it might be a bit quaint, but that ain't what you're about at all.
No, not at all. But yeah, people are often surprised because I don't look like a needlepoint person. My great aunts were needlepoint people.
Just back in the UK?
Back in the UK, yeah. So I grew up around people doing needlepoint and I really wanted to do it, but I could never find anything that suited my aesthetic.
This piece here is what, about 60 centimetres wide by about 40 deep, maybe about 70 centimetres wide?
Yeah, about 70 by about 50.
Oh, okay.
It's just, it's on a scrolling frame.
Oh, okay, so yeah. As you do it,
so
you can scroll through.
So you scroll it across, yeah, so you open it up.
And how much stitching would go into a piece of that size?
In terms of time, how many hours or...?
Both, hours and stitches.
Hours for this piece is probably about 150 hours.
Wow.
And stitches, I reckon there's, I could actually do a calculation because I do like numbers and counting, and I often do actually publicise how many stitches there are roughly in a piece. But I would say, without doing a calculation, probably about 60,000 stitches in that piece, 60 to 80,000.
60 to 80,000 stitches, yeah. 50 hours of work, and that's just one example of many, many works you do a year.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, the last exhibition I did had 38 pieces in.
Okay.
And some of them were 1.2 metres by 1 metre.
Well, let's rule out what needlepoint for you is about in terms of subject matter. So, is it about pets?
No.
Do you do flowers?
No.
No. Do you do pretty houses?
Not pretty houses.
What do you do?
I do a lot of the industrial landscape in Melbourne's West, which I'm a little bit obsessed with. I do cranes. I do containers. I do old houses that are falling down, or houses that I look at and go, that's not going to be there for long, I want to capture that. Or a house that kind of somebody might have seen. If you walk around the neighbourhood, you kind of walk past buildings all the time and you see it someplace, and then all of a sudden they're not there anymore because they've been renovated. So I kind of really like to capture those kind of places which are on the way out, I think, is what you'd say.
So some of the colours that spring to mind when you needlepoint a decaying industrial landscape, what are some of the colours you use the most of?
I use a lot of reds and pinks.
Reds for rust?
Reds for rust. Well, I don't necessarily... I mean, it is literal. Like, when you look at my work, it's quite photorealistic. But when you look close up, it's not literal at all. From a distance, people often think it's photographic. But when you look close up, you can see that I throw colours in to brickwork. I might throw a bright pink or a purple or something like that. So I like to play with colour. Colour's the thing that I'm really most excited about. And decay, I like decay because there's a lot of colour in decay. I live in an area that's being gentrified quite quickly. And I've been in this area for about 15 years now, and I've seen quite a lot of changes in that time. And there's a lot of the character of the area is the stuff that kind of disappears. That's not to say that what's happening in there isn't great, because with gentrification comes a lot of great things.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you lose a lot as well with gentrification. And so I'm kind of interested in that. But I'm also interested in, like, I find beauty in things that quite often people see as ugly.
And do you think when you needlepoint those things, that you're actually sharing a beauty that perhaps they hadn't discovered before?
Absolutely. Like, one of the biggest amount of feedback I get from people is, I've walked past that building for every day of my life for the last 10 years and I've never noticed it. And then I saw that piece that you did and I suddenly started to notice it. So it kind of makes me feel good when that happens.
Let's reveal to people what it is that you're working on here.
This is a piece of the Sun Theatre, which is the cinema in Yarraville, which is a brilliant space. And
old Art Deco, isn't
it? It's an old Art Deco building. So, there's a bin in there. There's a garbage bin.
Oh, there's a garbage bin.
Yeah. It's not quite finished yet, so, you know, but this is a garbage bin here. There's some bike rails there. This is a building that sits behind the Sun Theatre, and then this is the building that sits next to it, and then that's the Sun Theatre.
Jessie is sort of showing me through the needlepoint as she describes what you've just heard, and there's this really bright light so we can see every thread perfectly illuminated. And then behind the work is some of the threads that Jessie's drawing on. What range? Oh, look at this. And she just lifted it in the needlepoint.
This makes me so excited. As I alluded to earlier, I'm quite obsessed with counting and kind of, I like stock taking and things like that. So part of what I have to do, because I work with so many different colours, it's you have to be incredibly organised. And so you
have
to.
Which you love, don't you?
I love it. Love, love, love it. I love spreadsheets. I'm kind of into all that stuff. I love counting.
Do you think that actually enhances your ability to create what you do? Because may I suggest that is kind of part of what one may say is on the spectrum a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit, yeah.
And that obsession
totally
actually fuels your skill.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's compulsive.
Right.
It is compulsive. And people say to me, why do you do what you do? And I don't have a choice. I kind of need to do it. It's something that I have to do. And I'm not diagnosed with being on the spectrum, but, you know, like I definitely have elements of behavioural stuff which makes me think that I am slightly.
And that's a kind of exciting though, isn't it?
I am happy
because
with
you're
it.
Using it the best way you
I,
can.
I do. I get so much pleasure from what I do, and a lot of other people get pleasure from it too, so yeah. That makes me happy.
What else do you need?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's great.
So back to this enormous range of colours.
Yeah. So I only use one type of thread, and that's a French make, and it's the best quality. I've got an XL thread sheet. which I run inventory on pretty much once a week. And so what I do is I count up what threads I've used during the week I've been working, and then I eliminate those from my Excel thread sheet, and then I've got a column where it kind of goes into red if I go below 10 of each colour.
So you have to order then.
So I have to then order.
And for those people who want to get a sense of what it is that we're seeing here in Jessie's studio, I promise you we'll take photographs, and she might even supply a couple too, just to show you what it is she does. Hey, can I broach a topic with you?
Sure.
And that is, at the moment, you know, your obsession has been for many years, your practice has been concerned mostly with the industrial and suburban landscape that is disappearing from a city like Melbourne, but it could be any other city. It could be Newcastle, it could be
Absolutely.
Port Kembla, it could be anywhere.
Yeah.
But right now, you're embarking on a work that is even closer to home than where you live. It's actually of your heart and your family.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm doing it. I hopefully I won't get too emotional, but I'm doing a piece which is a celebratory, but also dealing with my grief piece of my mum. So my mum died at the end of 2017, and it was very traumatic. And
She was in the UK.
She was in the UK. Yeah, and I got back to England. It took me from the time she went into hospital, she was put into an induced coma. And by the time I got back to England, it was maybe 5 days since she was in the induced coma. And at that point, we thought she had pneumonia. And when I got to the hospital, we saw the doctors that day, my stepfather and myself, and they basically said, you know, she hasn't recovered, she hasn't responded to the medication. It's really unusual. We did some further tests, and she actually had an acute myeloid leukemia, which was a very aggressive cancer, and none of us knew that she had that. She didn't know that she had that.
So she was completely undiagnosed.
She's completely undiagnosed. And so we had to make the decision about turning off the life support or not, and obviously there wasn't much point in keeping her on life support because she was most likely going to die from the pneumonia, and if she didn't die from that, she would have died from the leukemia quite soon. So it was kind of a bit of a lay down, was it? You know, we kind of went.
It's still not a decision anyone wants to make.
No, ever. it was really tough, and basically the trauma. It was very traumatic. I sat with her after they turned the machine off while she died, and it's not like the movies. It's not like, people think that when somebody dies, it's going to be really peaceful and calm. It wasn't. It was tough, and she fought, even though she was unconscious. And it's, I guess that's just what the human body does. And I was kind of immersed in this trauma for 3 weeks while I was in the UK and organising a funeral and being around my family and family friends. And so I was very much immersed in the grief of losing my mum. And it was, I was there with it, and she was there with me, and it was very clear. And then when I came back to Australia, it kind of, there was nothing. It was just empty. It was hard to describe, but the grief was still there, obviously, but the feelings just kind of disappeared, and I felt this numbness. And so I felt kind of anxious about that. And so I wanted to immerse myself in something that would make me, I suppose, be connected to her very literally. So I started doing a piece about my mum. So I'm basically doing a piece of her in death and a piece of her in life.
As needlepoint,
yeah. So the piece of her in death was, she looks really beautiful, and it was amazing. It was an amazing thing to be present with that on a daily basis. And I'm doing the piece of her in life now, which is equally as amazing, very different. But it's really been interesting because I have been immersed back in those feelings. And so I feel like I've, in a way, pushed through a lot more of that grief and kind of been with that and been with my mum. And it's been really good and quite cathartic.
How do you negotiate this decision to needlepoint your mum both in life and death with your family? How do you do that?
I haven't done it yet.
Okay.
I will do it. I'm going to talk to my... I was planning to talk to them. But my mum absolutely was my biggest fan, and she loved what I did, what I do. And, you know, she was always the first person to love something when I put it on Facebook. For me, it has to be respectful. It's about the respect for her. That's what it's about. I feel like my family will be quite proud, actually. I think they'll be happy, and I think they'll see it in the same way that I see it.
Yeah. I think your mum would be absolutely chuffed to know that you are remembering her in the way you know best and can do best. Jessie Dean, thank you for letting us see what you do.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.